And here's the key that I was going to talk about, and then we'll kind of go talk around the key, is this. Is that, well, let me start by telling a story. When I used to sell signs to businesses, sold in probably 20 or 25 different states altogether, and talked to thousands of business people. And as I was out talking to these business people, selling them signs, I was paying attention. I was wondering, well, how come some of them are really successful and some of them aren't? So I started paying attention. Because from the time I was young, I was about the age of 16, I started reading books like Think and Grow Rich and stuff like that. You know, and I've always been interested in prosperity, but I've never attained riches yet. And I often asked myself why. And when I was out selling signs, I meet some very successful business people that I thought were really pretty stupid. And I thought, how in the world is this dunce succeeding and making a ton of money, a lot more than I am and a lot more than other business people I meet, yet he doesn't seem that bright, yet he's doing really good. How is that? And I noticed that the amount of success that these people had didn't have a lot to do with their intelligence. Yeah, Garrett.
Well, it has to do with, actually, they're not crippled by their brains. They can focus all their energy on that one simple thing. So.
Yeah, right. Right. Getting down to the circle here. These guys have one circle of desire like us. Now, let's pick somebody that just kind of old farmer type mentality, not too bright.
George Bush.
Yeah. Well, he didn't succeed really
in baseball, but
he did
sell his team. Okay. We got this farm boy here, not too bright. He can't speaks kind of broken English, but boy, he's got an idea how to sell a better plow or something, you know. Now this guy, he's got a family and three kids. The only thing he can think of is supplying them with enough money so they have comfortable lives. So what does he do? He concentrates maybe 75% of his energy, of his desire, on attaining success and making the money and making his business successful. He's right there, Johnny on the spot, takes care of his customer, not too bright, but he's got his attention and focus there. Now we have another guy that's almost an Einstein.
He's a different marker.
He's almost an Einstein. And boy, he's got lots of dreams. He's got business plans. He's got 47 business plans written up. He's got inventions that he sent in to be patented. He's got 5 books he's written. And he's just so smart he could do anything. He's got this idea for a new solar unit here and got this idea for a new type of vehicle. And but the problem is he's dirt poor. You gotta take him out to lunch and you have to buy. Okay? Now why is that? What's this guy's problem? He's a lot smarter than this farm boy. Right. His problem is he's got his he's got his desire is all worked up and divided out, so none of his desires has more than maybe 5% of his desire energy being fed into it. And so what happens to his great new idea on solar energy? Nothing happens. Maybe somebody will steal it from him and they'll do something. We often hear that is that, well, the real guy that invented this, he's pretty much unknown, and the guy that really made it work, he didn't even do anything but just take it and run with it. And they think the guy that dreamed it up should get all the credit, a lot of historians do, but they wonder, well, why didn't the guy get any credit? Well, because all the guy did was dream it up. You need passion and desire to materialize it. Like Bill Gates, he found the guy that wrote the program, DOS, And that guy just come up with the ideas and probably in his, you know, spare time penciled it out or whatever he did to make it work. But he had no passion about creating a system that would be worldwide and in everybody's home. But Bill Gates did. He had a strong desire for this, and when he saw it, aha, he took it and he ran with it. And the guy that created it got diddly squat, pretty much. You know, maybe a few bucks for it. Or yeah, probably died of a broken heart.
He did. He died of a heart attack at 58.
Oh, he did, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was out flying the day that IBM came to, like, have an interview with him, and he decided to go flying instead. So then
really?
They went to Bill Gates, yeah. He actually had a chance to sell it to IBM, and he, you know, liked his free time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Hmm. So, was the guy ever successful at all?
Well,
in his own
he was, like, semi-successful, but not.
Just kind of normal life type thing, huh? Interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So, here's what we have to ask ourselves. What we really want. Now, what the average person says he wants, he usually says, okay, we got a circle. Okay, this one guy says, okay, I want to be a millionaire. So he wants to be a millionaire. But then, when we examine him, what are his desires? Well, he gets up in the morning. Well, he wants to sleep in. Oh, he sleeps in. He desires to sleep in instead of work. Just takes this much of his desire. Then he gets up and well, he has to go to his regular job, you know, he's to pay the bills. So, you know, his regular job takes this much of his desire and attention. And then, after it's over, well, he wants to stop by and have a beer with his friend on the way home, and that's part of it. He could be channel his desire and toward making a million, but he has a little tradition every evening. They stop by PJ's and have a couple beers. And then he comes home, and all his favorite TV shows are on. He has a strong desire to watch Dancing with the Stars, and then he comes and he's, well, I've got to surf the internet and check with see what porn's on there, and so he watches that. And by the end of the day, none of his desire energy was spent on making $1 million. But he keeps telling everybody, yeah, I'm going to make $1 million, but none of his desire energy is spent on it. If he wants to make $1 million, then what he has to do is chalk off a significant amount of desire energy so it is funneled in the direction of making $1 million. That's interesting. Nobody here may mention making $1 million. Got an interesting group here. They'd rather have truth and peace and love, you know, those crazy things like that.
New age.
We sold
wealth
that.
Is on the board.
What?
Wealth is on the board. It's number two.
Yeah, yeah, right.
The first things uttered was
money.
Wealth.
Yeah.
One of the very first things uttered.
Wealth and $1 million, be close.
Yeah, no matter how idealistic we are, we've got to have some money to survive. There's always desire to at least take care of ourselves so we can eat, have shelter, food, a little recreation. All that's tied into money. But the key to this is if we want to succeed at our greatest desire, we got to let that desire energy flow. We got to open the vents. And to open the vents, we have to diminish the desire in some of these other areas. Because if we have desire all scattered around in all these areas, then we won't have enough left over for the areas that we really want to have success in. Now, if there's no particular area we really want to have success, just kind of have a normal life, then, you know, balance it off however feels good. But let's say you're on a quest for say, better health. Say your health isn't that good. And you're on a quest for it. So if you think, well, these fatty foods here, synthetic foods, they taste so good, though. I desire them more than I desire health. You don't really think that way. But when the desire hits and you're eating things you shouldn't eat, then you're really desiring taste more than you're desiring your health. So you have to mentally substitute there. And let me see, taste. That would be a good one. Wow, look at this. Great.
Yeah,
we hit the pay dirt there. My desire has been fulfilled. I put a lot of desire energy in manifesting that. And it just appeared. Reminds me of the story of, I think I've told this before, of Socrates. A guy comes to Socrates and says, I desire to be as wise as you. How can I accomplish that? Socrates says, well, follow me. And he followed him out to body of water, and Socrates took him by the hair and put his head under the water and held it there till he was squirming like crazy. And Socrates pulled him up, and the guy was gasping. He said, what in the world did you do that for? Socrates says, well, when you were underwater, what did you want more than anything else in the world? He says, air. He says, well, when you want wisdom and knowledge like you wanted air, he says, then you'll be as wise as me. Now, what does that tell you about Socrates? Why was Socrates as wise as he was? Right. He desired wisdom and knowledge like that man desired air. He was, in other words, what Socrates was explaining, showing the guy, and the only way he could understand how Socrates really felt about gaining knowledge. And to Socrates, it was a quest that was a tremendous passion for him. And because it was a tremendous passion, he was able to achieve it. Now, another story in that direction is this person attended a violinist playing a Stradivarius, and he played just beautiful music. And the guy was so impressed, he approaches the violinist afterwards, and he says, I would give half of my life to be able to play that good. And the man replied, that's what I did. And so, in order to attain a quest for something we really desire, we have to give close to half of our desires for it. Now, in order to do that, we have to examine ourselves and be really honest and see what our desires really are. Are our desires maybe a little bit different than what we realize? Maybe, let's pick on George over here. George wants, quest for truth takes half of his desires. How much time do you spend reading? You did?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
What kind of things do you read?
Well,
he's answering pretty good so far, isn't he?
Yeah, runs the gamut, history, Stephen King, I read everything, yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Do you do anything else in your quest for truth?
Seminars?
Yes.
Yeah. You guys are helping him out too much.
Yeah. Do you eat? Sometimes.
Yeah. Just for a better talk.
Okay. Now George is answering well. He's really, you know, he's doing some of the things that somebody with a desire for a quest for truth would really do. You know, which is kind of unexpected, because a lot of people will answer this way and they'll say, and then you'll find out they aren't really doing anything in their quest. But you're actually doing something. You'd be commended for that. But oftentimes, like people say, I want a new car, I want wealth or whatever, and then they're doing almost nothing to make progress in that direction except wishing. As my mom used to say, if wishes were fishes, we'd have a great fry. She used to say that to me all the time. It used to really irritate me.